begin distance learning starting on April 6th. And I'll talk some about what that means for Bartlesville. But Tom, if it's okay, I'd like to talk a little bit about, we're preparing for that time, but what's been going on here currently on our operational people. First of all, the first thing we think about is when school's not in session, our concern is our kids. And, you know, we're coming off of spring break, but most kids coming back, many of them counting on to, when they come to school, is to have a good meal. And so I really want to brag on our child nutrition staff, Jonathan Beckloff, under his leadership. We have been feeding kids breakfast and lunches. This is our third day. And so that is available to any kid that's from 1 to 18 years old at Central Madison Middle School. We have a morning session from 8 till 9:30, and then again for lunch at Central Madison. People can drive through and pick up. And we also have buses that are running to certain areas and dropping off food. And what I thought was really interesting I wanted to share was Monday, Jonathan reported to me that we had 750 meals on Monday. Yesterday, there was over 2,200 meals that were distributed yesterday. And so they're anticipating even more today. So really proud of all the work that goes wrong with our operational staff. Our child nutrition folks continue to work. Our maintenance staff and custodial staff continue to work at our buildings. Our technology folks are working remotely, but are working as needed behind the scenes. They're coming in as necessary. Also, other essential staff, our administrative team, our folks that are paying the bills, payroll, those people are all meeting. Either they're coming in or working from home. For the most part, they're working from home, but all of our buildings are closed. So really appreciate all of their efforts. I mentioned to you off the air, our energy management, we are shifting now. We have a program with Synergistic to help us save money that typically when we can capitalize on those savings is when school's not in session, like in the summer and on the breaks. Well, we're going to get started on that now, obviously, because we need to recoup as much of those funds as we can to help us operationally, especially with how the state budgets are going to be here for the short and hopefully not too long a term. But we are pivoting to that right now. So what's going to happen after April 6th? Here's what's going on now. So when starting on Monday, April 6th, we're going to move forward with our distance learning plan. And it's going to look a little different depending on the grade level of the kids. So let me first start talking about on the elementary side. So that's for our pre-K through fifth grade. We already have packets ready for kids, 3 weeks worth of work for them that's ready to be distributed to them. And the way that will work, first of all, we will that'll be posted online where parents can access that online. We will also, all the teachers, if we have teachers that are listening, Ms. Martinez, she's got a group of other teachers that she's working with. She'll be sharing a slideshow with some background information and kind of a path forward on what that's going to be like. And also the packets along with that, they'll have those this week so that they'll have time to review. But so starting on that Monday, April 6th, they'll be available on our website. We'll also have the opportunity, most likely what we'll do, the plan will be if folks want to come by and pick up a packet at, outside, we'll have a way to distribute them if they want to come pick it up, if they can't do it online. We've also discussing the possibility of having buses run when they, buses go around to their bus stops to distribute those packets to our elementary kiddos. And for our teachers, and that's what's been, our teachers are really sad. Our teachers, they're not getting closure with their kids. And so they're really working through and struggling on how to communicate because they miss their kids. And so what'll happen starting then, part of that for the elementary level, because typically, our elementary teachers, they'll have, 18 to 25 kids somewhere in there, depending on where they are and what their enrollment looks like, but where they would have some communication with kids. I mean, starting on the April 6th, some kind, hopefully daily, they'll be able to communicate, reach out, whether that's on the phone, whether that's on some side of a Facebook or some way where they can actually get a look at the kids and hopefully have some kind of interaction with them. And the first thing is just to check on them, making sure they're doing okay, making sure they're aware of where meals are if they need them, and so that they can have some ways to communicate. Typically, our teachers, they already have groups set up with their parents in that group where they can shoot out information. So that's another way where they'll be able to communicate directly with parents to get them this information, also to answer any questions, and so that they can get some interactions with the kids. So that's kind of what our plan is for the elementary moving forward. And probably the big thing that I wanted to mention also is this is what I've talked to our administrative team about. We've been meeting almost daily now, virtually, but is really for our teachers, what they're working on is, okay, what are the most essential things that they need to cover between now and the end of the school year? You know, fortunately, they don't have to worry about going back and reviewing for cramming for a state test, that you could argue the relevance of that. But right now they can really just focus on what are the most essential things that kids need to have to help them for the next step. You know, if they're a third grader, what information do they need to have? No skills do they need to have to help them on the fourth grade, for example. So, and then being flexible, obviously, on how we're going to get that information to them. And have to be, we're going to be flexible with our staff. Our staff's going to be very flexible with our kids on moving forwards. So that's on the elementary end. Can I go ahead and talk about the secondary, Tom?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that because, you know, these are the kids that already have the Chromebooks right. and things like this. Right. What's this going to look like for them?
Yeah, so it's you're right. It is a little bit different with them. Our 6th to 12th graders all have a Chromebook. And so it's the same right now what our teachers are doing, and they're having all of our schools have had a staff meeting or will have a staff meeting this week. Also having departmental or grade level meetings virtually. And so really where they are and looking at their curriculum maps is determining what are those essential skills. Okay, and what's the reality on how to get that information to the kids. They will be doing that through their learning management system, which is called Canvas, that they've been using all year. Our high school has been using that now for a couple of years, so they're a little bit further along than our middle schools. But they'll be doing that electronically, virtually. And so that's they'll be sharing that way. And what I anticipate happening after April 6th, too, and that's what we're working on and getting input from our teachers about, having almost some virtual, some office hours where they will be available for, they could have some interaction. You know, we have that capability. All of our Chromebooks have video, and so that they can shoot those and they can actually get you know, they can meet that way or have the opportunity to do that. And we're kind of planning for, you know, some office hours for teachers to be planning on. Also to have some time set aside for what there would be some live instruction time. You know, they'd have the information, but be able to answer some questions. My wife's an 8th grade teacher, for example. I know she's already working on some videos, some things that she'll do to share. And she's already working on messaging to go out to the kids just because she wants them to hear from her. And so that they can interact. So we'll be getting more information out on April 6th. That's what's really takes some time for us to prepare for, but they'll be communicating that way. You know, those essential skills, being flexible, really probably more informal in terms of grades and those kind of things, probably more informal than formal because this is going to look different, which is new to all of us. So those are kind of where we're working towards with our overall, with what that distance learning looks like. We're very thankful and appreciative of our community support so that we have some of these resources that I've described that we didn't have just a few years ago in terms of Chromebooks. And I know we have those for our kids, but we've had those now with our staff now for a few years, all staff, even though at the elementary level, you know, they're not at one-to-one with their kids, but just being able to communicate with each other, it's really made a tremendous impact on us. But some things that come up with that, some concerns that come up with that virtually is that digital divide. You know, how do you work with kids that maybe don't have access to the internet, which is even compounded a little bit more when you think about maybe some community places that aren't open to kids now, you know, that maybe, you know, maybe the Boys and Girls Club or the city library where there is some free internet access. Mm-hmm. And so how do you bridge that gap? So what we're working on with that, that's one of the reasons we had a special board meeting last week so that we could approve the purchase of hotspots. Before spring break, Granger Metter, who's the executive director of technology and communications, he pushed out a survey to all of our secondary students so they'd have the opportunity to respond on what their internet accessibility was at home, outside the home. And he used that data to determine how many hotspots we would need. So, and that's before spring break, we already approved some hotspots enough that we could cover staff, and those should have came in yesterday. So, because we will have some essential staff that will need that at home too, and so we're working on getting that distribution out to them, and that's kind of handled at the site level. For example, if you have a teacher or staff or an essential staff that communicate with their principal, hey, somebody needs it, we'll work on getting that to them. Last Wednesday, we ended up approving about, I think it was about $60,000 worth of hotspots. I think it was around 275 total is what we ended up purchasing. So that, and once they come in, which I think they're scheduled to come in next week, then we'll be working on, okay, how to distribute those to the kids. You know, who are the kids that need them? How we're going to go about having them attest that they actually are necessary, and then going through the process to distribute them. And Granger and his technology team will be working on getting that information out to getting those resources out to them to help. But it's still not going to be perfect. You know, we're still gonna have to be flexible as we work through this. But I can tell you, Tom, there's some exciting things. You know, we're going to get through this.
And oh, we are.
We are. Yeah. We are. And I can tell you some things that, you know, with our technology improvements we've made, this is really going to spur some innovation. I have some brilliant teachers. And so now they're really looking at what they're doing and how they can think differently. So I can see us in the future, for example, we're going to be that much more competitive. I know there's some charter virtual schools online that the schools in Oklahoma have lost enrollment to. There's no reason why we should, you know, because we're going to have the resources and the ability to be competitive with them, as well as being able to offer the electives for our kids. So, but I think, for example, next year, there won't be a need for, I can see us, if we do happen to have some weather days, whether it's a you know, Oklahoma, that can be a variety of things, whether it's snow, ice, or
anything
flooding. I can foresee us where we could actually have a virtual day because we'd be prepared for that. You know, right mm-hmm. now we're kind of playing, we were first to play defense, and now we're kind of working on playing offense, but we'll be prepared for that going into the year. So that will be helpful for us as we continue to move forward. And also just our meetings. We've had more virtual meetings now than I've ever had, which I'm kind of tired of having them already, but we do what we have to do. But I do think there's some things there that's going to make us more efficient.
Indeed, with this monster of a challenge that we have ahead of us, there will be some good things to utilize a little bit later on. So in summary, right now, when we get the official word,
right,
we won't be having face-to-face learning in schools for the rest of the semester. The 6th, we start the distance learning, the online learning, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to figure out getting the food distributed mm-hmm. to the kids who need that, mm-hmm. And also the hot spots for the kids who need that.
That's right, and the food's already happening. We started that on Monday. That was step one, make sure mm-hmm. we got our kids taken care of. We're doing that. We're doing a wonderful job with that. And so now we're on the internal phase on preparing our teachers and staff for that April 6th. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we're working on. You know, a couple things in the short term I wanted to mention to our kids and our parents out there. Fortunately, we have some beautiful weather, and get outside. I mean, obviously, you need to be at least 6 feet away from people, but to get outside and move, walk around. You know, I'm an avid runner. I've been on the Pathfinder almost every day, and I don't think I've ever seen so many people there, which is wonderful. Or even if it's in your backyard, I mean, just to get out and walk around and read. I really encourage people just to read, all of us to read, and not necessarily what's on your phone. You know, put your phone down, get away from that social media for a few minutes, and think about some other things. So really encourage people really to take care of themselves. I know that I talking to my administrators yesterday, we had a virtual meeting and some other folks that were included, and I encourage them, they don't want to gain the Corona 15. You know, we've heard about the freshman 15.
Nobody wants to do that.
People are kind of shuttered in there too, so I encourage them to do that. I also wanted to mention, Tom, if I could, we have a virtual, our school board meetings are going to shift. We're going to meet virtually. We actually have a special board meeting at noon. There's a couple things that we needed to approve. They could look on our website if they wanted to follow along. I'm not sure exactly what that'll look like on their end virtually, but we're going to be using Zoom to do that. So we will be doing that. And one of the things that we plan to address, because one question is regarding our support staff. And I want to be clear about that. So my intention, you know, we already have, there's already things in place to protect teachers and administrators if there's some sort of pandemic in terms of their pay. And I've just described how we're continuing to work. But a question that comes up is, what about your support staff, your hourly staff, for example, like a teacher assistant or a paraprofessional, that their duties are assigned specifically to working with kids? Well, how do you do that in this climate? And so that's a legitimate concern. And for them, these folks, they don't make much money. I mean, and they're really the backbone of our school. I mean, they do all kinds of things for us, but we're going to make sure they're protected. I want to ask my board to approve a memorandum of understanding and where if there is some gap for them for those remaining 33 days of school, which we plan on for them to work, we plan to help them helps communicate with kids. Mm-hmm. There's some things that definitely that we'll be able to do. Maybe they'll come up and do some custodial work for us and do some things on distribution. But where their pay would be, we could approve some additional emergency leave so their pay would not be impacted for the rest of the year. So make sure that people know that. That's an important thing for us too. The board election, we have a school board election.
I was going to ask you about that. How's this going to work?
Yeah, great question. So it was scheduled for April 7th, at the same time that our city bond election was scheduled. We are moving our school board election to June 30th. We'll be taking board action on that today. And so that's the seat that Andrea Nightingale's in. We'll have that one election on June 30th. Andrea Nightingale is the incumbent, in that election. And so really encourage people to, and hopefully we're able to have that election June 30th. I hope people will be out and about and workers will be able to do that at June 30. But so she'll remain as a board member until that time. And at that state board meeting, I wanted to mention also, I want to commend our state superintendent, Joy Hoffmeister. I've spoken with her almost daily. She's done a wonderful job in terms of on some leadership here. They're going to be taking action on several things in terms of flexibility to help us the rest of the year, because obviously school is going to be different, in terms of instructional time, the grading, all those things are going to be different, certain requirements. So they're going to give us some flexibility then. I also wanted to mention a couple of other things. We still have some bond projects, some construction projects that are going on. And if people are out and about, especially this beautiful weather, you might walk along the back of the high school and take a look up at the press box area. The steel is up, and you can kind of see the framework of what that's going to look like. So that Manhattan Construction Company continues to work on that project, along with our ag building, which is on the south end there. Our board approved at our last meeting the Fine Arts Center, an automated orchestra pit lift. Mm-hmm. Manhattan will also be building that. That work continues. And then one of the major technology things that we're doing for our elementary schools is we are replacing their electronic boards in their classroom. This year and next year, we'll be doing all six of our elementaries. This year, we're going to be replacing those in three elementaries. And actually, we're going to escalate that timeline because they're starting to come in. So, obviously before we're going to have to wait till June before we could get started because we needed the kids and staff to be on, but we're going to be moving those up so that that can happen. And also wanted to mention that the turf on the baseball field, we played some baseball games on it and it looks great, but they finally came in, our logos came in. And so those have been put in place on our field. And those logos, like for example, we have our Bruin logo. We have something for our Legion baseball team, also Oklahoma Wesleyan University. They have smaller logos closer to their dugout. And then the logo that I'm really proud of, it says Rigdon Field on it. Yes. That's been put in. And so, yeah, so that's really, really special. I know that obviously we had a ceremony planned before. For next week, it would have been. Obviously, that's been postponed. We are going to have a ceremony. We are going to do that. Terry Hughes will work with Christina Rigdon and her family and determine when's the best time to do that. And we're definitely going to do that, whether it's this year or next year, whenever makes the most sense. But we're definitely going to do that. I wanted to mention pre-K. I know some folks have been in contact or concerns about they have a child that is, they need to get enrolled in pre-kindergarten for next year. We have full-day pre-K at all of our elementary schools. And we've already actually had that enrollment. But if they haven't done that yet, what I would encourage them to do is to email the principal of their school, to contact them and let them know, and they can start communicating on how they can do that moving forward. So I encourage them just to email the principal elementary school where they live. And I wanted to also mention a couple of things. I know one big question that comes up is graduation.
That's huge.
That's a huge one. We have that scheduled for May 22nd, mm-hmm. Which does not look promising, where we're going to be able to have the same kind of graduation that we're accustomed to, obviously. So we're working on that. Kind of some options is some sort of your matter of fact, Superintendent Hoffmeister mentioned some sort of a virtual graduation where that way you could maybe have your speaker speak and do some sort of a slideshow to call the kid's name as an option. The other option would be if we were to delay it when we could have some sort of a graduation, which I'm not sure when that would be. We'd have to wait on health officials to say when that could be. So we're definitely going to do some sort of graduation. We're just not sure when and what that'll look like. And I wanted to mention that unfortunately, all of our spring activities, they've been canceled, obviously, or that will be happening over the next day, and which academically, I'm happy that this happened at the end of the school year so that our teachers were able to spend as much time as possible with the kids. However, the reality is those kids are involved in spring activities. They're obviously missing out on them because they're really, really having some special seasons, especially our soccer groups and baseball and some of those folks too.
Chuck McCauley, I want to thank you very much for being with us here today, Superintendent of Schools. A lot of information, and we'll be checking in on the virtual school board meeting today.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And we've got more coming up right here on K1.